Everybody, but take your Bibles, please, and turn to Second Peter chapter 2. We're going to be using our Bibles a whole lot tonight, and so keep them handy. And we're going to start off in Second Peter chapter 2, and you might want to put a bookmark in there because we're going to be there off and on throughout the night. In Second Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring the damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help meet with us tonight and use your word for your honor and glory. Heavenly Father, we desperately need to hear from you, and we pray that you once again meet with us tonight, and your will be done. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're going to talk about developing your spiritual appetite. And man is a very complex creature, and he is controlled by many appetites. And in fact, a lot of times our appetites are purely fleshly in nature. And, here's the thing is the sad part about it is most of the time we strive to satisfy the flesh, whether it be getting a new Jaguar or maybe a 2017, and I need a new church to preach at. But, maybe buying that thing that we just can't live without, or maybe it's eating that thing that we can't live without. And let's pray and be dismissed right here. And but here's the thing is that we tend to neglect satisfying the most important appetite of all, and that's our spiritual appetite. You know, when it comes down to it, we can change our appetite. And I'll never forget many years ago at a different church, we were working with young people, and we decided to take a group of young people to youth conference in Hammond, Indiana. And I'll never forget, we jumped in the van and we started to take off. And I did what I normally do when we take a trip, and I popped in a preaching tape. And it happened to be Pastor Randy Dignan. And it was one of my favorite tapes at the time. It was one where he was preaching about being excited you're saved. And I tell you what, he was going to town and I was loving every minute of it. And I looked in the rearview mirror and it looked like a bunch of Garfields with their ears laid back. And I look back and I ask them, what's wrong? And they're like, can we turn on anything else? I'm like, well, I got some good old fashioned gospel music. And so I popped that in and we started looking, we started listening to it. And I'm getting into it. Stephanie's getting into it. And I look back and there's in the rearview mirror, Garfield with their ears laid back, a whole bunch of them. The sad part about it is that these were all Christian school kids and people where their parents went to church. One of them was even the pastor's daughter. And here's the thing is that when it comes down to it, their appetite was not preaching and godly music. And I learned that really quick, and I learned that we had a bigger problem on our hands than just that. And so, here's the thing is when it comes down to appetites, you know, it can be curved. And too many times, here is the new year. Everybody seems like you talk to is on a diet. And, then you don't have stuff like Skittles and Hershey's and all these good things for the candy bucket. About this time of year, we should have leaf lettuce and carrots for the birthdays. But it seems like, the more we eat of the junk food, the more we acquire that kind of an appetite. And I'll be honest with you, one of the hardest things about fasting is it seems like the first 3 or 4 days you crave everything. If it's food, you crave it. But you know what happens is eventually when you go to fast, it seems like those cravings subside to a point, and it's a whole lot easier to abstain from eating that junk food. And we're going to talk tonight about developing your spiritual appetite. And we're going to look at what God has for us today. And look at verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And, here's the thing is that God has a plan for us. And that plan is to develop a spiritual appetite. Turn your Bibles and, and look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says this: "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." It's God's plan for you and me to grow in Him. And, you know, here's the thing. Too many times, growth is normal. And if you had a baby that would not grow, what would you do? You'd take it to the doctor and you'd say, "Hey, something's wrong with this child. And he looks too much like Aaron." And not joking. But anyways, and so here's the thing is that when it comes down to it, you know, if a baby doesn't grow, there's something wrong. Well, the same is true with a Christian. When a Christian doesn't grow, there's something wrong. Because the Bible says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And so God's plan is to grow. And but here's the thing is, growth is a normal byproduct of birth. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 3 and verse 7. Like I said, we're going to go through a lot of verses tonight. John chapter 3 and verse 7, the Bible says this: "Marvel not, I say unto you, ye must be born again." Now here's the thing is, the Bible commands us to be born again. And I think we all, everyone tonight that's here understands that. And but here's the thing is, when we become born again, God expects us to grow. And just like it is unnatural for a child not to grow, it is unnatural for a Christian not to grow. Too many times, well, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Too many times it seems like, you know, we just don't want to step outside of our comfort zone. I don't know if it's that we're not really in the Word or whatever the case may be, but here's the thing is, too many times we as Christians, we get to the point where it seems like we stagnate. You know, and it's just like a pond. Whenever you get a pond that nothing flows in and nothing flows out, there's stagnation, there's moss growing on the top of the pond. Well, too many times we as Christians, we got moss growing on us. And, you know, here's the thing is, we're sitting in the pews, we're occupying whatever pew space we have, and it seems like we're not, last year was the same as this year. We haven't read our Bible anymore. We haven't prayed anymore. We haven't seen any more souls saved. We haven't served God anymore. We haven't been used of God more. We just kind of, where we are is where we are. And here's the thing is, God's plan is not for us to stagnate. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 3. The Bible says, "And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" And so here you have, you know, too many times we have baby Christians running around our churches. And here's the thing is that Paul is basically saying that there are babes in Christ that I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as under carnal. And I fed you with milk and not with meat. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we as Christians, we need to be growing. We need to not be stagnating. Because too many times, stagnation is backsliding. And what happens is we become a carnal Christian. Listen, I don't know about you, but it just seems like if we're not growing, we're backsliding. You know, I love going to conferences, whether it be here at our church or in other places, because you know it almost seems like a wake up call, and you step outside of your normal, and you get a preacher who you know, here's the thing is, whether it be our preacher or another preacher that preaches the word, and it seems to wake you up. It's something out of the ordinary, and you realize, you know what? Just like the song says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." And you know, you realize that without really even noticing that much, it seems like carnality just kind of snuck into your life. It just seems like, you know what, you stopped growing as much as you should. Maybe you weren't in the Word as much as you should. Maybe you weren't in prayer as much as you should. Maybe you realized your attitude got out of check. And hey, this was the wake-up call that God was using to say, "Hey, listen, you know what? I can't speak unto you as spiritual, but you know what? You're carnal. You require the milk when you should be requiring the meat." And so what happens is it's kind of a check. This is why I love the fact that our pastor has so many revivals at our church. And here's the thing is, let me encourage you, be a part of them, because it's necessary for the Christian life. If we don't have these, checkpoints or times where we stop and reset and say, hey, how am I doing spiritually? What happens is we become more and more carnal, and we don't follow God's plan of growth. And so God's perfect will is that we grow so that we can reproduce and help others grow. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And I believe, not necessarily in this church, but I believe this is where a lot of churches drop the ball. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, the Bible says this: Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Here's the thing is that, you know what, churches are not just required to win the lost. Although that is a big command. The Bible says that we're supposed to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we all know that in order to be baptized, we've got to be saved. And so here's the thing is, a lot of churches across America, we'll get them saved and we'll baptize them. But you know what? We fail to, I can't remember what preacher it was. He says, listen, there's three responsibilities as a church. We're to win them, wed them, and wean them. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, discipleship, all across America, churches are dropping the ball. And I believe this is a part of spiritual growth. Hey, listen, if we don't teach them and we don't disciple them and help them to grow, I tell you what, those false doctrines out there and all the false religions out there that Satan uses to lead people astray, I tell you what, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Jehovah Witnesses, all those, hey, they'll disciple your converts. But listen, when it comes down to it, we need to take and we need to wed them, and wean them. And so turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And too many times we miss the point. I love the program that we've been going through, and it seems to be growing. We started out with one person, and then it grew to two. And I believe right now we have four different people going through a discipleship program. And so praise the Lord for that. But Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 12, the Bible says, For at the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And God is basically saying, hey, listen, you know, I got to say that I feel like God is talking to seasoned Christians here. The Bible talks about, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. You know, I think about the verse that talks about, to whom much is given, much is required. I'll be honest with you, God has given me a lot. And I think back at my life, I grew up in a Christian home. I had godly siblings. I had godly parents. And I joke around that I was on drugs growing up. I got drugged to church. I went, my parents sacrificed to put me in a Christian school, and I got bombarded with the gospel, with the Bible there, and I went off to a Bible college and married a spouse, and I was just joking, godly spouse, hopefully, and sometimes. But here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, you know, and God has given me an awesome church to be a part of. Now listen, I've been given a lot. But here's the thing is, imagine how pathetic I'd be if I couldn't teach. If I didn't know the Bible enough to teach someone else. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And so here's the thing is, too many times in churches across America, and I don't necessarily believe that it's here, but too many times we're in need of a teacher when God says, hey, listen, you've been saved long enough, you've been given so much, you've sat under the preaching of God's Word. He said, but listen, instead of being a teacher, instead of being able to teach a Sunday school class, instead of being able to lead somebody to Christ, instead of, hey, listen, being a teacher of the Word of God, sharing the gospel with you everywhere you go. You're in need of a teacher yourself. Hey, listen, too many times we don't have the answer. We're not ready to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. And what happens is, listen, what causes that? Carnal Christians that have refused or failed to grow. And God has a plan for our lives that, listen, we must grow as Christians. Listen, being a carnal Christian is not an option. Being a stagnant Christian is not an option. Hey, listen, God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And listen, we are supposed to win them, win them, and wean them. And however you fit into that category, listen, we're all supposed to be sharing the gospel. But when it comes down to it, you know what? Whether it be having a discipleship class, or maybe teaching a Sunday school, or maybe it's taking somebody one-on-one and saying, hey, listen, let me encourage you. Let me help you to grow. And but listen, we need to follow God's plan for growth. God gives us the provision. God gives us everything that we need to grow. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. A lot of times, we don't grow because we don't take advantage. God gives us everything we need. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. His word feeds us. This is a rhetorical question, but I wonder how many of us have been fed by the word of God. Pastor got up this morning and he had Sunday school. And the Word of God was being taught in Sunday school. Next you had Sunday morning. Pastor preached from the Word of God. And here's the thing, is I believe that the Bible says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. Here's the thing, is listen, we need to not be skipping church. But at the same point in time, that's not enough. We ought to be students of this book right here. We need to be reading our Bible. We need to be studying our Bible. We need to be allowing the Bible to change us. And turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. God gives us everything we need to grow. But just like the child, if the child doesn't get nourishment, the child isn't going to grow properly. But as a Christian, if we don't get the nourishment we need, we're not going to grow the way we should. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 103. Bible says this. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. What's your appetite like for the Word of God? You know what I found is that our appetite, just like with those teenagers on the trip, what we feast on is what we have an appetite for. You know, when one of the things that's hard about a diet is trying to change your appetite. When you're used to pizza, and when you're used to McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King and Rallies and what else are the good ones? And you know what? When you feast on those things, Taco Bell, and you know what? You start to get an appetite for the wrong things. And then when somebody places a salad in front of you, you think, no. And but here's the thing is, you know, it's just like those teenagers. When we feast on worldly things and fleshly things, our appetite kind of heads that direction. But you know what? When we decide that we're going to be students of the Bible, that we're going to take and grow as Christians, you know what? Our appetites change. Turn your Bibles to Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. And, you know, when it comes down to it, too many times we take and we mind earthly things, the Bible says. But here's the thing is, tonight I guess the question kind of is what's your appetite like? When godly, you know, here's the thing is, you know, that too many times in Christians, We feel like, you know what, those kind of songs, they're good for church, but they're not really good for home. You know, too many times we say, you know what, that's church music, and I have my own music at home. Well, what kind of music do you have at home? And here's the thing is that when it comes down to it, too many times we feast on the flesh And we don't feast on the Spirit. And so here's the thing is, listen, the Bible talks about you cannot serve God and man. Either you will love the one and hate the other, or you cleave to the one and despise the other. And so basically, when it comes down to it, listen, we've got to decide that, you know what? We're going to stay away from those things that feed the flesh. We're not going to indulge in things that would take and hinder us. You know, later on we're going to read let us lay aside every weight and every sin which doth so easily beset us. And I'm jumping ahead on my outline a little bit, but here's the thing: is when it comes down to it, we need to stay away from things that are going to slow us down. Stay away from things that are going to keep us from developing that appetite. And so, when it comes down to it, the Bible contains all the spiritual vitamins and nutrients that's required for spiritual growth and maturity. And God will lead us. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And God provides us. You know, here's the thing is that the Bible is not everything that God knows. It's everything that God wants us to know. And here's the thing is it's everything we need to be godly Christians. Look at verses 13 through 15. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore I say, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto Me, unto you. And so here's the thing is that, listen, the Bible is the only book that's alive. I tell you what, the Bible is the only book that you can read multiple times the same passage and get different things out of it. Why? Because this is the very Word of God. And here's the thing is, God gives us everything we know. God gives us a living book that, you know what, when it comes down to it, that I don't know how many times I've been reading in the Bible and maybe it didn't apply right then and there. But you know what? A day later, or maybe 12 hours later, or whenever, it's like, I just read that. God just showed me that in the Bible. And or maybe something jumped out at you. And here, listen, I tell you what, there's nothing cooler than to be reading the Bible and have something jump out at you and say, you know what, that's exactly what I need. Or, I just read that. And here's the thing is, you know why? It's a living book. It's everything we need. God will show us the things to come. And so here's the thing is that God gives us everything we need to grow spiritually. But you know what? We need to not take the Bible for granted. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I know a lot of people can quote this, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Here's the thing is the Bible is good for a lot of things. And you know, it's the only, by the way, it's the only book that comes with its author. Think about that for a moment. And you know what? You can go to the bookstore and there might be an author sign in the book. And here's the thing is, you know what? If you walk up, buy the book and say to the author, "Come with me." They're going to look at you and be like, "No, you're weird." And so, but here's the thing is, listen, when it comes down to it, the Bible is the only book that comes with its author. And so, listen, when it comes down to it, here's the thing is, so many times you hear about, well, that's not what I meant when I wrote in the book. But here's the thing is, you know what? The Holy Spirit will show us what He meant. And so here's the thing is that, but I'll be honest with you, it's easy to despise the Bible. How do you despise the Bible? Turn in Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 16. Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Let's read that again. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For My mouth it hath commanded, and His Spirit it gathereth, hath gathered them. And so here's the thing is, how do you despise it? By not reading it. Seems like the average, I believe the number was that the average Christian has 7 Bibles in their home. And some have a lot more than that, depending upon how long you've been saved and how many Bibles you acquired. But listen, the important thing is not how many Bibles we have, it's how read are the Bibles that we have. And so when it comes down to it, we can despise the Bible just by not reading it. And next, turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verses 7 and 17. Revelation chapter 2, verses 7 and 17. The Bible says this: "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Verse 17, the Bible says, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And so here's the thing is, listen, you know how we can despise the Bible? By not hearing it. And here's the thing is, too many times we hear what we want to hear. And I'll be honest with you, it's so easy to let your mind wander. I don't know if you guys are that way, but this is part of the reason why I like to sit down front, because my mind wanders so often. And I swear I have ADHD. One time I was in filling in for Guy when the sound booth was up in the balcony. And I tell you what, I felt so removed from the service, and I felt so not a part. You kind of feel like the redheaded stepchild up there. And anyways, it was so hard to pay attention. And the guy's back there sleeping even now. No, he's not. Anyways, he was reading in his Bible. But anyways, but here's the thing is that it is so easy. And so what happens is, you know what? Whenever we take and we allow our mind to wander, whenever we think about other things, you know, here's the thing is, Satan's real good about that. Satan's real good about to get us riled up about something. Why? Because you know what? If we're riled up about something, we're not thinking about the preaching of the Word of God. If we're thinking about our pot roast that's in the oven, how it might be burning at this point in time because Pastor went 3.5 seconds over on a sermon. And yeah, but here's the thing: is Satan's real good about distracting us. And so if we're going to take and take the provisions that God has for us, we need to make sure that we're hearing the Word of God. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. The next one is by not doing it. We despise the Bible, the Word of God, by not doing it. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. "But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be hearers of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And I'll be honest with you, that describes the average Christian today. Here's the thing is, we read our Bible, and we just let it go in one ear and out the other. And we're not doers of the Word. You know, the Bible is a confrontational book. I don't know that I've read it very much without God poking my heart and poking his finger in my chest and saying, "Hey, listen, there's something you need to change." And you know what? I'll be honest with you. It seems like there. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not like every time. Sometimes God knows exactly what we need. And like I said, he'll give us what we need. But you know, the thing about it is these churches like the Happy Church and all these point churches that, you know, Center Point, you know, all these other point churches that have no point. And basically, they're not preaching the Word of God. And so here's the thing is, the Bible is a confrontational book. The Bible talks about sin. The Bible talks about eradication of sin. And the Bible talks about how there's atonement for sin. And how we as Christians, we need to live a holy life because we serve a holy God. And, you know, too many times we just decide that, you know what? The Christian life is about me and God having an understanding. And the understanding is I know God's up there in heaven, but you know what? He needs to understand that I'm not going to change. And that's not what the Bible is all about. And we need old-fashioned gospel preaching. And, you know, the old-fashioned barnstorming preaching where the pastor gets up and says, "Thus saith the Lord." And you know what? I'll be honest with you. There's been times where our pastor preached And you know what? I was sitting there squirming in my pew. Why? Because you know what? The Bible is a confrontational book. And listen, I shouldn't get mad at our pastor. He's preaching what God gave him out of the Word of God. And so if I'm the kind of Christian that decides, you know what? I'm going to take the provisions that God gives me. When I start squirming in a pew when the Bible is being preached, hey, listen, there's something that I need to change in my life. There's something. There's a reason why I'm squirming in the pew. It's not because the pastor has it out for me. It's not because, you know what? He was talking to my wife and she was blabbing. And it was because God had something for me that I needed to change. And you know what? If I don't change, I'll be honest with you. I'll be that carnal Christian that's not growing. And instead of doing God's work, I'm the one that needs a teacher myself. And so we need to grow in the Lord because we have a steady diet of the Word of God. You know, the thing about it is that sin will steal our appetite for the Word of God. I remember that saying, either sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. You want a good check on how you're doing spiritually? How much do we like to read our Bible? I'll be honest with you, when we come and we're like, oh man, we're looking for an excuse not to read the Bible. You know what? That should be the first red flag that something's wrong in my life. When I'm not willing to listen to old-fashioned gospel music, that should be a red flag that something's wrong. What kind of music do I like? Here's the thing is, if it's anything on the radio these days, I tell you what, there's a problem. And because there isn't much good on the radio, unless you're in select areas, which I tell you what, I was talking to Dee. He travels over to Indiana and Hammond, I think, is the radio station. He could pick up where he was. But most of the time, I tell you what, I don't even turn on the radio. I like, I've got a few apps where TuneIn Radio where I can take and select some good gospel music, ones that glorify God and follow His guidelines right here, and ones that aren't going to feed the flesh, but they're going to feed the Spirit. But you know, you look at the prodigal. See, the thing about it is there was two places that prodigal ate. It was the pig pen and his father's table. But you know what's interesting is? He didn't eat out of both of them at the same time. He went from one to the other to the other. Because here's the thing is, one will rob you of your appetite for the other. If you're sitting at the king's table, eating the king's meat, and you know what? And here's the thing is, you know what? You're not going to want to eat out of the pig pen. You're going to look at that pig pen and think, you know what? No thanks. That's gross. That's nasty. Who'd want to eat out of that? But you know what ends up happening is we start to get sucked in and we start to go out of the way of the world and we find ourselves in the pig pen. And you know what? It doesn't make sense. We're not desiring the king's table. This is why, I'll be honest with you, when we walk away from God, the house of the Lord is the last place that we want to go to. We think, you know what? I've fulfilled my obligation. Sunday morning's it, man, I tell you what. And so here's the thing is, listen, we don't want to go into the house of the Lord. We forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And God has given us everything we need to grow. But you know what? We feed on that which we want to feed on. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Too many times we have an appetite for the wrong thing. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Too many times we're like the lukewarm Christian. The Bible says, I wish you were either cold or hot, but instead you're lukewarm. Me kind of putting it in my own words. Basically, I think, here's the thing, is nobody likes vomiting. But you know what? The Bible talks about, I will spew you out of, you know, here's the thing, I wish you were either cold or hot, but it talks about spewing him out of his mouth. You know, the thing about it is that I'll never forget, when I was working EMS in Michigan, I worked with a paramedic who, there was a big Zilwaukee bridge, and many people, there was quite a few people that had died on the building of it, and you get up there and the bridge kind of sways a little bit. And I'll never forget, we'd go on a scene, and if it wasn't real bad, she'd always tell me, hey, listen, go get the people with the fire department and bring them to me. And she didn't want to leave the ambulance, because if she did, she got sick. And, you know, the thing about it is she'd try and avoid getting sick. And she was also a sympathetic vomiter, and so I'd always walk in the ambulance, you know, and start making noises, and then she'd be, stop it, and you start hugging the trash can, but nobody wants to vomit. And so here's the thing is, I don't know where I was going with that, but the problem is that, you know, God isn't a spoil sport. He's not out to steal our fun. You know what? The Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows how we are. You know, the thing about it is too many times we think by man's logic. And I think I heard Pastor say this this morning, or maybe it was another time where, you know what? Too many times we want to do things our ways, but God's ways are totally different. You know, when we think humanly speaking, we think, well, this is the way it should be. But you know what? Sometimes God's ways go totally against what we think is right. And we need to go with God's ways. Why? Because it's just like the whole deal of it is more blessed to give than to receive. The world says, and our flesh says, you know what? Gimme, 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 gimme. Everything I can get. But here's the thing is, that person is the most miserable person and ornerous cuss in the room. And the happiest person is the person that says, you know what? Hey, I can't wait for so-and-so to open the gift that I gave him. I can't wait for so-and-so. Oh, I tell you what. And, you know what? That Steve Woolman, I gave him a gift. And, I can't wait for him to open it. And, I'll get myself in trouble. I'll move right along. And, here's the thing is when it comes down to it, God knows us and he knows what's best. And this is why it's called the joy of the Lord. We only get it when we walk with God. And so he knows how to develop our appetite. He knows how to make us strong. But too many times, we're useless to him because we don't do his will. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to run with patience the race. We need to let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know, too many times we take and we run with weights, things that slow us down. But when it comes down to it, we need to have a desire to grow. You know, here's the thing, as a baby, they demand food. They anticipate food. They desire food. And you know what? They're willing to scream their heads off until they get it. You know, and sometimes when they're teenagers, they're willing to do the same thing. And I'm hungry. Well, you know what? We ought to be like the teenager that comes to the Word of God and says, hey, I'm hungry. I want to grow. And I can't wait to grow up and do this and do that. And I'm hungry. I want to grow. Listen, this is the way we ought to come to the Word of God. We need to come to God and say, hey, listen, I'm in need of growth. I'm in need of nurture. Hey, listen, the only way I'm going to grow, the only way I'm going to become the Christian that you want me to be, the only way that I'm going to be the teacher instead of the one needing teaching, instead of being a carnal Christian, I want to be a spiritual Christian. We need to come to God and say, I'm hungry. What satisfies you tonight? Do you feel more satisfied after a good movie or a good sermon? Do you know more about your favorite movie star or about God's Word? When you need direction in life, do you turn to Jerry Springer, right, Pastor? No, just joking. And Murray and some of the other ones, or do we turn to the Word of God? And finally, do you feel that you are growing in the Lord? Let me encourage you to develop godly appetites. You know, this is a time where we go on diets to eat the right food. And you know what? A lot of us have made New Year's resolutions. Well, you know what? We need to be resolved that says, you know what? I'm going to only take in that which will develop my spiritual appetite. And I need to be hungry for the things of the Word of God. See, God gives us plenty to eat spiritually. This is the only place where, you know what? There's no such thing as gluttony. We can have seconds and thirds and fourths of the will of God, or of the Word of God. But you know what? We need to get in the Word of God if we're called Christians. And so, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You so much for the fact that there's so much spiritual instructions and so many ways in which we can grow as Christians. And dearly Father, I pray that You just help us to just dwell on every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Dearly Father, I pray that You just help us to grow as Christians. Help us to not stagnate and get moss on our head. And I pray that You just help us to be one that we can teach instead of being taught. In Jesus' name, amen.